This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Vito? What the f***,
Sal? Hey.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I was here. It's a joke.
You're f***.
Watch it, buddy. You f***. Watch it, cupcake.
Guys, come on. It's okay.
You think so?
Sal, please. It's a f***ing joke.
Right. Sure. Say hi to your wife.
I'm serious. I'm...
Sal, please. Don't say nothing, Sal.
Side by side for 20 years.
Have a fact.
Such devotion makes me choke back.
You know, I finally get that. We actually have what appears to be a timely booking.
An amazingly timely booking.
Unless something ungodly happens to him. Vito, the half a fag from The Sopranos, who may or may not blow his brains out next week.
Right.
He'll be on the show. Not today, but tomorrow.
Oh, wow. My God, we're going to have to grill him.
Now, of course, this is coming from a man who told us that today Bob Barker would be on the show.
That's right.
Well, how was I to know?
It's the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
That the great man would be called before the Los Angeles City Council today. An amazing coincidence that would happen today.
Oh, so he's not going to be with us?
No, he'll be down later this week.
He's right.
What about the fag guy from The Sopranos?
He was very pleasant. He used an F-bomb with me this morning.
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh, good. Just blanking with you.
What's his real name?
I have it written down.
He's Vito on the show.
That's all you need to know.
And he's the disturbing one that likes Meadow's boyfriend. And, we left him sitting in a motel room with a gun on the dresser.
Beautiful. It was a beautiful show.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about The Sopranos is that, you know, you sit there for 40 minutes, and that's pretty much the format now. You wait. Mm-hmm. You just wait for something.
You say, when is this show going
to
get better?
Big to happen.
Right.
And, boy, when he showed up in that Village People outfit and he's kissing that guy in that gay bar.
It was wonderful.
Oh. Homo.
That you can always count on Joseph R. Granascoli.
Joe Granascoli.
Yes, Joe Granascoli.
Oh, right.
Well, howdy, everybody, and welcome to the official pre-show.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Jesus Christ, did I have a... It's almost good that Bob Barker will not be on today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am such a big mouth with so many people that I want to speak about who I met and ran into this weekend.
Yes.
And not all of them good.
Oh.
And many of them what potentially could be a client. So let me just say, at a major... electronics boutiques type store. So
okay.
I want to be
wonderful.
I want to be open and loving to our bitchly sponsors.
Yes. Very good.
I want them to know that.
Especially
when
with your whole big deal at the end of last week.
Yeah, they were all crying
when you got done with that.
When I call them bitchly sponsors, it's not really you. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the dirt. It's the people that run the station.
Mm.
It's not the fine people that buy the commercials. It's the people that run the goddamn station.
No, the people that buy the commercials are responsible for us, feeding our families.
But I am sure that these people that I'm going to speak ill of today advertise a lot.
Hmm.
Okay, So I got to be very careful.
Yes, you must.
Because I was double A pissed off. And then I had some adventures with a vehicle. And I had some adventures going down to see Frank Caliendo.
Uh-huh.
And I know Buzz did as well.
I had an adventure.
And my kid, Jesus Christ, I had both my kids were all over me all weekend with what was going on with them. But I think what we should start with today, if you'll allow me, is... Before we even play a tape and dance.
Hi, guys.
I want to tell you about a call I made yesterday morning. Let me tell you how things go. I'm up early, as always, and I see the Masters rain delayed from Sunday, guys, or Saturday, guys, on Sunday. See, it starts at 8 a.m. I turn on the high-def channel. Hey, guys, there it is. Beautiful.
Beautiful Augusta fairways.
I think it's early. It's Sunday. But I bet my best buddy Mike will want to get up to watch this extra coverage. Yeah, we can't really do it. Hey, guys, without the music.
That's right. Yeah, you got to have the music, guys.
In high definition.
Always have to have the music, guys.
So roll the dice. Because I know it's early to call anybody on a Sunday morning, guys. I dial 1-800-EAT-IT-MIKES. He here's what I hear. Now, Mike picks up the phone as if he has been up and has had a robust breakfast and is ready to attack the day.
Uh-huh.
Really, here's the call. Yeah. He goes, hello? And I said, hey, man, it's me. I'm so sorry to call you so early on a Sunday morning. Hey, and Mike goes, hey, no problem. What's happening? I said, you know, I just have to tell you, the Masters is on right now in high def, and Nance is being so Nancy, and if you turn it on and you watch it, it's beautiful. I didn't think it was supposed to be on at 8 a.m. in high def. I just want to let you know.
And once that was identified,
yeah.
Once he identified that as the subject matter, because I, you know, I want to make sure everything's all right.
Of course.
And once he identifies that, my energy started to approximate what it really should have been.
Not really.
I didn't convince you of that?
No. I wrote down. Now, here's the. I wrote this down on a post-it after I spoke, right after you said it. Here's exactly what I wrote. Sounded alert, awake.
Okay. I can fake it.
Quote.
I fake it here every day.
Quote. I'm drunk and I'm sleeping. I'll watch it later. Okay? I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
I didn't keep the conversation going very long.
You did not.
And I don't think, even
you
though...
You sounded absolutely wide awake. I mean, just like you sound now.
And with that, you should know that when I was speaking to you, I was in bed, and I had looked at the phone, saw that it was caller ID, that it was you. Mm. Otherwise, I would not have answered the phone.
Sorry about that.
But I answered the phone, and even though I was doing this, hi, no problem at all. What's going on? My eyes, you see what my eyes are closed right now?
Yeah.
The whole time I was talking to you, and I would estimate from the time I hung up with you, I was sound asleep again in about 18 seconds. And I the next time my eyes opened, it was 11 o'clock.
Wow. The great, this
was 11 o'clock in the morning because I,
the great quote,
had a little bit of evening.
Ah. I'm drunk.
A lot of evening.
I'm drunk. And sleeping.
And sleeping.
I'll watch it later. Okay, thanks. Bye. And not once sounding slurry, sounding tired.
No, he's the master.
But my body was ravaged. There's no doubt about that. Because I really, seriously took the better part of the day to recover. I think my full recovery time was probably about 4 o'clock. And even that was just in time to... I struggled to get through The Sopranos last night. So, I mean, really, the whole day was just a... I did go out briefly, but then walking back into
just
my house...
Just briefly,
I said, hey, goodbye, day. What a nice day. Sorry I can't be with you today.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
This was yesterday?
To bed. What a day. This was yesterday.
So you went back to bed yesterday afternoon?
Went back to watch the Masters in bed, took my pants off, and spent the rest of the day in my underwear. And really didn't get out of bed other than to go to the bathroom. And I was, and Carla brought me food and drink.
That's nice.
It was wonderful. Dinner. We had a Subway sub outside. Which was painful for me to sit in the car. But she went into the restaurant and ordered it and brought it to me because she was still driving. This was at about 1 o'clock.
Hold on, please. Which day is this?
This is Sunday.
Oh, so this is when you ventured out.
Ventured out because we had planned to stay up in Baltimore because I went up to see the game on Saturday. And, I can attribute the entire thing to the two-hour rain delay that they'd had in 40-degree weather up in Baltimore.
You went to Camden
Saturday
Yards.
Night, I was going to go to the game. The game's supposed to start at 4:30. They delayed the game for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't think it was going to be that much of a delay. And because it was, great.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
Great people.
Yeah.
Fun people.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of good times.
Drunk people.
Oriole fans, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans. It was great. It was baseball. It was frigid. It was freezing cold. We were dressed properly, but we also needed to fortify for the game.
Sure.
Great seats. Fantastic seats. Best I've ever had at a baseball game. It was just a good time was had by all. And it probably would have been perfectly logical for me to stop my evening after the game was over and go home and go to bed like normal people.
No.
But I have this little restaurant that I like to go to occasionally.
So listen, here's what Mike tells us in the office.
I just wanted to go there.
I understand.
He goes to Baltimore.
Carla did not. She dropped me off.
He goes to Baltimore with his girlfriend to see the Red Sox.
Uh-huh. Right.
He's drunk at the game. Really drunk. Coming back home.
I'm the same way I am with you on the phone. When I'm there, no one looking at me if they weren't counting. would have any clue. Because I'm not one of these guys that, you know, I'm not going to run out on the field and grab a beach ball with, you know, or paint my, you know, myself red and white, you know, with the, you know, with lipstick.
You don't show it, but for the better part of the afternoon, the evening,
yeah,
you've been pounding. So
pounding.
You get close
right
to
up till the seventh inning.
You get close to home, and then you say, "Hey, honey, drop me off." Drop me off at my bar.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I walk in there, and that's when the fun really begins.
Sure.
And then what time did you leave your bar?
Don't ask me for... Oh, leave?
Yeah.
At closing time.
At closing time?
After closing time. I got home. I probably hit the sheets at about 3:30.
Now, how did you get home?
3:30. Called Carla, which is really how I knew that I was...
You called
normally,
your girlfriend?
Look, normally I can... You know, I'm just a couple minutes away.
Was she sleeping?
Normally, yeah, she was sound asleep. And she was a trooper, and she came and picked me up, and it was wonderful. Normally, though, I have a car there, and somebody on the staff will, you know, give me a ride.
Right.
In my own vehicle, and then get picked up. One of the door guys will do that.
Wondering, what's it like to be that close to Mike? What must it be like for this young woman who we don't really know that well, but we know, you know, loves Mike?
Mm-hmm.
It must be fantastic. I mean, you
lucky.
You go to the ball game and you get the show put on for you, you know, because Mike's a natural showman. Then you drop him off at the bar. You go home. You go to sleep, and he calls you up and says, "Come pick me up, mommy."
Yeah,
it was. And then he spends
is the time. I think that might be the first time I've ever done that.
The next afternoon,
I really have to defend myself.
Spends it in bed,
and then she drives you to Subway.
She was sacking out with me a good chunk of the time, but she ventured out like to go shopping and see her mom and stuff. I was the one that I was left behind most of the day. I was in kind of a coma. That's all there was to it with me. But I didn't. It was the only time I think that I can remember that I've actually called and asked her to come and pick me up. Because I just didn't want to, I don't know what I didn't want to do. I wasn't thinking really clearly. I just wanted her to give me a ride home.
I thought you lived within staggering distance.
Yeah, but I mean, I never do that.
Oh, okay.
I never do that.
Right.
No,
it's probably not a good idea for you to be walking the streets in that condition.
No, you know, it's a safe little neighborhood, but I think that there's really no reason for I don't want to be out on the street.
Hair trigger temper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, anything could happen.
Who dare look, you know, the wrong way to Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
That's a good point.
Did you hear what he said today to that dumb intern kid out there?
No.
The kid that kind of looks like Tom Green?
No. What is his name, Rob?
John Solid.
I like John.
Yeah.
I don't like that shirt.
I like him very much as well. We're all very fond of this dopey intern.
I don't
intern.
Like that shirt's been sitting there for 2 weeks.
So there's a shirt that's folded and sitting on this guy's desk.
Right.
Mike walks by and says, "What's the deal
shirt
with that?"
Shirt looks a little long in the tooth, too.
Mike walks by and says, "What's the deal with this shirt?" And the guy says, "What do you mean? It's my shirt." Mike says, "Now, hey, hi there, Andy Rooney. Hi, old man." Mike says, "You know what that shirt needs?" And the kid says, "What?" Mike says,
"A hanger."
And then as
put
he
it
walks,
on a hanger.
And as he walks away, not even looking at him, he just says, "Put it on a hanger."
It was neatly like folded.
It was. Have you seen the shirt?
Yes, yes.
The shirt jumps out at you, doesn't it?
Well, not really.
The
shirt—it's unusual.
Notice it.
Yeah, because
notice
you don't
the
expect to see a shirt.
And
there.
It looks a little. You know, it looks a little.
It looks
weird.
Like it might be owned by a 21-year-old male.
It looks weird. So as I'm walking down, I was like Andy Rooney because I said, "Put it on a hanger."
All right, let's. Oh, hold on. Speaking of baseball, as we were, when you went to Camden Yards,
and incidentally, what a series! No disrespect. No disrespect to any
Orioles.
Oriole fans at all. None, you know, please. But, 5-1 on the opening road trip of the season. Pretty good for my guys.
So our hometown team, you know, here in D.C., the Nads.
The Nationals.
The Nads play their first home game tomorrow. We will be sending the semi-retarded Joe out to do his famous Joe Mo's.
Oh, good.
Because it's a 1 o'clock. Start time.
Perfect.
So he'll be able to get there early, and there's going to be all kinds of security because Big Dick Cheney's throwing out the first ball.
Oh. If he can.
So
cover your faces.
Be a lot of people for Joe to talk to.
That's going to put a lot of stress on his ticker. Throwing out
Let me
first
see.
Ball.
Hello, may I ask you a few questions? Save for the internet, blah, 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 and CBS. Thank you on behalf of the NBA. Welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited? Mike, are you excited?
Yes.
What is the best part of opening day?
The fact that it's another spring and it's another new beginning.
What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he wants?
Absolutely.
Would you be cheering and yelling, "Go Nads" today?
Yes, I will.
Let me hear you.
Go Nads.
Louder.
Go Nads!
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
Not really, no.
Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
Not one little bit.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
The cream.
Please explain.
I'd rather not.
I'm an illegal immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that you should be entitled to work.
How do you feel about Mayor Williams' idea of that D.C. has the first underground stadium?
I think it's very unique, very clever.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper?
No, I don't.
How about a guess?
Blood.
How did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hey, you asking those questions, I'm going to knock you right on your ear.
Quick, what does RFK stand for?
Robert F. Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Okay.
Would you like to give me my B12 shot?
Sure.
I'll have to de-pants, of course. How did you feel about Tom Sizemore as Pete Rose in that ESPN motion picture?
I thought it was a tour de force.
How many points for a home run?
Two.
What word does this spell?
B-A.
S-E-B.
Mm-hmm.
A-L-L.
Baseball.
Uh-huh. How do you... Do you smell number one?
Yes.
I do, everywhere.
Sorry, I was just laughing at you.
Later on.
Interviewer.
Do you want to go to the Armory with me and have a beer?
I'd love to.
Now, let's you and me sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay.
Take me out. Thanks.
So on.
You're welcome.
Now beat it.
Hey. That's a good series of questions.
Good question.
Had to throw in Yaz. You had to throw in Yaz.
Of course I did.
Even after I got my special autographed jersey.
All right, so let's make sure that he does this tomorrow.
That's your copy to keep.
My God, I don't need it.
He's through it. Yeah.
Just don't destroy it.
Might want to print out another one.
Got to hold on to it.
No need to destroy that.
You'll want that.
Yeah.
You read it tonight.
Really, you should move my Tom Sizemore joke up, though.
All right, we can do that. Where would you like
it? I mean, really. You know, listen.
Why don't you replace the Carl Yastrzemski joke with the Tom Sizemore?
Oh no, that's a great one, Mike. You got to hold that one for the very end. You know, it just seems to me as I'm looking at how this thing was done.
Yeah.
Because I what I do is I write a bunch of them. I send them to Rob and I say polish this up.
Punch it up. Yeah.
And basically, he just takes all of mine and puts all mine like in one little stack at the end.
The bottom.
Parentheses.
What?
I put them in parentheses.
In a smaller font.
Yeah. Where would you like it?
I don't know. Move them around.
How about right below Dick Cheney?
Well, hold on a second. Let's just look. Look at this.
All right.
Let's just look at this. Is a project between the two of us.
Inside the comedy mind.
Yeah, let's just see how many, because I sent you, I think, like eight of them today.
I think so.
So let's see how many of mine made the cut and how many of yours made the cut.
All right.
First line, that's Rob.
You've got to put that in there, though. That doesn't count.
Okay, may I ask you questions for broadcast?
Right.
Okay. On behalf of the NBA, that's Rob. Welcome to opening day.
Good.
What's the best part about opening day? That's Rob. What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game? That's Rob. You'd be cheering and yelling, go Nats. I changed that to Nads.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was, again, Rob, if you're just counting the order that he's putting these in.
There's a reason, though.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
It's
Rob. Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
Rob. You're going to like this next one, though.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds? Please explain. Okay.
Finally. All done.
That's you.
Finally.
All done.
One of mine makes it. I'm an illegal immigrant. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Rob.
It's Rob.
One that I cut out.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the newly renovated D.C. or the newly revealed D.C. ballpark design? That's Rob. That one didn't make it because that sets up the next one.
Right.
Do you like Mayor Williams' idea of the world's first underground stadium? Which, again, is Rob.
Uh-huh.
So if we're counting up to this point, and I'm not so petty that I would count, but it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
For Rob.
9 or 10 for Rob. 1 for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but mine are all the straight ones.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper? Okay, that's me. Now here's my look. What did you know when Yaz came out of the closet? That's me.
Three.
Quick, what does RFK stand for? That's Rob. Okay, so, you know, you couldn't give me like three in a row, can you?
Like to spread them out, the great ones.
Would you like to give me my B12 shot? I'll have to de-pants. Mine.
Good. 4.
How do you feel about Tom Sizemore? Mine. 2. Now, hold on. How many points for a home run? 3. Now, would it kill you to give me a 4th in the row? No. You got to go with what word does this spell? B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
Rob. Do you smell number one? I do everywhere. Mine.
All yours.
Should
be moved way, 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 way
up. I thought it was a good closer. It was so strong.
Later, do you want to go to the Armory with me and have a beer? That's Rob. That's fine. Now, let's sing Take Me Out of the Ballgame.
Rob. Sadly.
Thanks. Now beat it. Rob.
But I used every one you sent me.
You guys never use the one that I want to put in.
What's that?
I've always, for every survey that's ever been done, we sent them out.
What's that?
Can you smell my breath?
You know what? Hey. I'm going to put M. Mike. Hey, I got one.
Hey, congratulations.
Smell.
I never get to go to the writers' meetings.
My breath. Good. Give that some better placement.
All right.
All right, thank you, boy. Thank you very much.
Well, I think it's going to be wonderful when it's put into practice by the master interviewer.
Yeah, and Joe's already uptight. I shouldn't say uptight. Less than
he was very receptive compared to the way he normally is.
You know what I guess?
Don't you think? I mean, yes. it was darn near enthusiastic
with
for him.
Joe. I guess the words "lower expectations"
right.
come to mind. Yes, Mike, you're right.
He kind of
Joe is thrilled
right.
with the opportunity to get up tomorrow morning and have to be at the stadium at 10 a.m.
thrilled
and cut the tape.
That's the word I would use. Thrilled,
absolutely thrilled.
I've moved Tom Sizemore to question number 4. Because the ones before that are all the straight ones where
nice,
they get the
nice concession,
the false sense of security.
No, but you have there are too many straight questions. See, here's the thing. I don't want to hear some guy really answering serious questions. I mean, leave your goofy ones in.
All right.
Leave the ones like the Dan Snyder one. That's a good one.
And I put Mike's question at number 5, right after Go Nads.
All right.
It's all right?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Excellent.
How about you, Buzz? You got one?
No, I really don't. It would have something to do with James Garner, but I think we're past that.
Yes. Oh, and listen, I was blessed over the weekend with a visit at my abode from Buzz. I have television issues, of which I will not bore you with now.
Right.
There's somebody that I know and care for very much
right.
who really... Christ, I can't talk about it.
No.
Anyway, I have a TV that's ruined, virtually ruined, because somebody likes to clean.
Yeah. I think anybody that's been there knows what maybe even with just that, knows what you're talking about.
It's an LCD screen, which means you don't touch this TV, this fancy TV that I have. And as it turns out, it looks like someone over the last couple of weeks who's been in my house just like put their hands all over this thing. So I'd done some research about this, and,
right. mm-hmm.
and Buzz was out and says, hey, I'm ready to make a tech spy. He comes with his little toolbox,
right. mm-hmm.
ready to, because Buzz is pretty good with TVs and crap like that.
He got a bitchin' set of tools.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I had just hooked up a computer. I'll tell you about that later. I was feeling real good about myself, but when it comes to the TV, I'm totally inexperienced. So Buzz comes in and takes a look at this and right away says, you know, oh, my God, this is hopeless. TV is hopeless.
Permanent
so,
damage, I think.
So that's not what I wanted to tell you
no.
about.
Right.
Buzz did see the Batman cowl
oh.
in my home.
I did.
And, Buzz, if you would please to be so kind as to explain to the boys why it really, at this point, I hate to disappoint everybody, it can't be moved.
It really
can't. I can't wear it in.
It's like a museum display. I have not seen a more beautiful Lucite display case than I saw around the Batman cowl yesterday. And I don't think there's a way to take it out. I think it's in there to stay for its protection. And it's displayed in such a way that it would be a crime to move it.
Right? I mean,
how's it look?
Oh, it's beautiful. And it looks exactly like the one Adam West wore on the TV series Batman.
I can't describe it. The girl that's not my girlfriend.
Right.
Did an outstanding, I mean, really. I mean, like, got like, it's like Buzz thought, I guess, that it would be like, under one of those.
I just expected a square, you know, plastic box that you could see. No, this is a work of art. This is beautiful. It's got little silver pedestals that are conical shaped.
Cool.
And it's got open books on each side of it displaying the actual costumes and utility belts and of course, the cowl that are on display.
Is the utility
them.
Belt also in plastic?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she did just a fantastic
it's
job.
It's a whole thing with the little Batmobile but the centerpiece, of course, is the box with the cowl in it.
So
and
I think if beautiful. Everybody is okay, and I know nobody really cares about me wearing the goddamn thing except for Mike. at some point when you come over, I'll take it out and put it on for you. But I think what I'll do is probably get a digital camera and just
Take a picture. I'd like
take
to see
a picture
of the way it's displayed because it's beautiful. Yeah.
Where do you have it in your house?
Oh, it's right in that big wall unit by my humidor.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's
okay
with all my other collectible stuff.
Cool.
All my other
it
nerdy
is cool
stuff.
It's definitely worth seeing.
And you know, really, I've got to stop saying this. Not my girlfriend. I've just got to say, my friend. Do you realize when I was talking with Frank Caliendo after his show?
Mm-hmm.
At the Improv on Saturday, you know, and I had to hang around and say thank you for the tickets.
Right.
Right? You had a great show. Now, why I would do this with him, I don't know. He's a guy that we know through our association on the radio.
Exactly.
He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know, we promote his gigs. He likes the show. Frank's talented. I mean, that's about it.
Good connection.
Yeah, we're friends as much as we can be friends.
Right.
I don't know why I felt after the show when I'm standing there with him and the other guy, I say, oh, and this is my, I say, this is not my girlfriend.
Is that how you introduced her?
Yes, I did. I said, huh. I said, oh, hey, Frank, this is not my girlfriend. This is Adrian, and this is, you know, and it's like, hey,
yeah,
come on.
Too much.
Stupid. She didn't care.
So she was cool with it.
She was fine with it, but I got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
I really do. Anyway, and she's the one that did this thing to make this thing look like the...
But I want to see it. Take a picture of it and bring it in. I'm really impressed.
Guys, I want to... I'll tell you, guys, you walk... Walk into the house and you say,
take a look at the Batman's cowl.
Some kind of a man boy that lives in this home. God, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that the DirecTV bill showed an extraordinary amount of straight pornography being bought, you might think that this would be like a lair for a pedophile with all the guys, all the Batman memorabilia, the Star Trek memorabilia on the walls, guys.
That's some utility belt and some cowl. Unfortunately, it won't be worn. It'll be preserved for posterity. All the great memories and TV experiences that have gone on in the little boy's head. The little boy who is today a man.
And guys, what a thrill it was.
Look, there's the utility belt now.
Hi, Hootie.
Hi, Jim.
What a thrill it was, I know, for Don. To see Buzz's late model Japanese car pull up his driveway. See Buzz get out, and there it is. The familiar toolbox that says, friend, I'm here to help you with your video problems. And incidentally, I'll tell you this.
There's Buzz Burbank now.
He came with all of the cables, the ones that have the gold-plated ends that I don't really understand.
Oh,
but
you mean monster cables?
He said, yes. You might need. Guys, he's like a TV repairman.
That's great.
And a newsman.
Wonderful.
Guys, here's the real Nance.
The weather is ideal, and there are cool breezes. That cold front went moving through here yesterday. We had a four-hour delay. Mm-hmm. But even though there are those cool breezes, enough searing pressure to wilt the best of games. Just a beautiful day. And
he was...
Wow, what a scene we have here. What a leaderboard.
He was so into it yesterday.
Five players are bunched this close to the top.
And it was a sucky Masters. Mm. One of the more sucky ones.
Hey, guys.
Boring. Nothing ever happened.
And here's your first look at the leaderboard. Mickelson and Couples together at 252
hey,
in
guys.
The final pairing.
Did they make enough about those two? They made enough about those two that you thought they were making love out on the
together.
Course.
Together.
It's not about the game. It's about the camaraderie.
Guys,
if you'll notice,
Bible.
As they're walking up 17, just a gentle squeeze from Phil Mickelson to Freddie Couples on his right buttock.
Lanny, you'll know that the Bible tells us homosexuality is a sin. But I'll tell you this, as I watch Phil... And who is the other guy, Mike?
Freddie Couples, Don.
As I watch the two of them walk hand in hand, I can picture them humping like those two gay cowboys in that Brokeback Mountain movie, guys.
Just like an episode of Brokeback Mountain, Freddie Couples, Phil Mickelson.
Doing it.
Friends for life, actually making love on the course.
Face down, ass up, guys.
That's the way we like to.
Welcome.
It's just beautiful.
This is the champion's locker room at Augusta National Golf Club.
Uh-oh.
When you think about what it takes to qualify for a place in here, my goodness, you could say this is the most...
You know, hold on.
My goodness.
We've got to stop. We've got to stop because we've not really started the show yet. There's too much. And this is the point where we'll be screwed later. Mm. So let's stop right here.
The greasy, lumpy Phil Mickelson.
We'll come right... Why do you hate the guy so much?
I don't like Phil.
Why do you hate him? I don't even follow golf. So I got nothing against the guy.
He's just so frumpy and he's so dull.
Kind of like that about the guy. Kind of looks like...
I wanted Freddie. I wanted Freddie for one real reason. I wanted Freddie because Freddie's 46 and I'm 46. And I wanted to see, and now I hate to say it, but I wanted to see the older guy do it. Mm. Wanted to see the old man do it. Oh, wanted to see that story.
I just realized, I swear to God, I'm so stupid. The only reason I was rooting for that guy
for Freddie,
when I was watching the Masters,
it's
Fuzzy Zeller. I thought that it was. I thought he was the guy that said when Tiger Woods won the first year that they should serve chicken and watermelon.
No, Fuzzy's a lot older.
That's
than
why.
Much older than Freddie.
See, I got Fuzzy, Freddie, yeah. And I kept wondering how come they're not referencing this.
No, I like to.
It's only this the guy just 10 years ago said serve chicken and. You guys.
Can I tell you, though, seriously, Don?
It's not even the same guy, Mike.
Why I'm jealous of Phil? It's jealousy. You know, Phil Mickelson, lefty, the great game, the trophy wife, the perfect family. That's exactly what it's all about. The perfect man, but as Rob and I have pointed out earlier, just a little greasy.
Guys,
as you can tell by looking at him.
Guys, the jacket's green, and so is the monster known as Jealousy.
Yes.
As the gin blossoms sing, hey, Jealousy.
Hey.
Mike, give it up.
But of course, all that melted away when I got a chance to take a look at the Trent Lott hair of Hootie Johnson in the Butler Cabin.
Guys, it's Jim Nance. I just want to say one thing.
Well, look, there they are now.
Here's the most important thing of all, guys. We know this about the Masters and Augusta. The black man putting the jacket on the white man, or as I like to say, the right man. guys, that's what Augusta's all about.
And I believe if you look at Phil, you can tell that no one could be more tragically white than Phil Mickelson.
Guys, that's why we love him so. Here at Augusta, he's so white, he's so pale, he's so us. He's so farmer's tan.
That's a scandal at the Masters, the real truth. Phil Mickelson, the illegitimate son of Hootie Johnson.
Welcome. This is the champion's locker room at Augusta National Golf Club.
Here we go. Yes.
Stop it.
Only comes once a year, the fabulous Masters.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. But I must start, before we even get to Frank Caliendo, and some exciting stuff happened at a show that I did not attend, that Buzz attended, with our friend Frank Caliendo. A lot of weekend stuff to get to, but I'm really going to have to start with this electronics store. I really, really am going to have to just start with them.
Very good.
So we'll
very good, guys.
Guys, got to tell you something. Hey, guys. You made a promise that you're going to start taking that first break a little bit earlier in the show, guys. Don?
Promises are meant to keep, Don.
Don, I'm looking at your notes right now. Right here it says break by 3:20. Guys?
I've got the liner notes right in front of me. Here's the playbill for the Don and Mike show today.
3:32 East Coast time. Guys, Don, Mike, late, not right, guys.
Phil Mickelson demanding a nice hair washing.
He's white. White is right. The black man puts the jacket back on the white man, and things are right at Augusta.
Big party held by Hootie. Hootie, guys, and the rest of the white membership.
And, of course, I was rooting for Freddie Couples.
Of course.
He was my roommate.
Because you thought he was Fuzzy Zeller.
No, I was being Jim Nance there.
Oh, sorry about that, yes.
Because you know Jim Nance.
I intend to remain objective.
In real life, Jim Nance was a roommate of Freddie Couples.
And during their time at... What school was it? The University of Houston?
Various toga parties.
Yeah.
I learned to play the game where you bend over and spell the word run, guys.
I remember that fabulous time that Freddie and I were playing Hide the Putter. And all the great times he went on to be, of course, a legendary golfer. A legendary broadcaster. And now reunited once again, and I can't help but feel... mild arousal as Freddie walks up the fairway at Augusta.
The weather is ideal, and there are cool breezes. That cold front moving through here yesterday, we had a four-hour delay. But even though there are those cool breezes, enough searing pressure to wilt the best of games.
Searing pressure.
God,
he's just felt searing pressure with Freddie Couples when they were roommates.
If you hadn't heard Nance on the show all the years, maybe it wouldn't be as funny to you. But
it is the best.
It my
be.
Guy, guys,
he's at his nanciest at the Masters.
Yep. Guys,
no football game ever even comes remotely close
to
that.
Thank God,
guys, Timex. Timex, guys, look at your left or right wrists accordingly.
The best is when he said hi to Hootie, because he Hootie Johnson, who completely controls everything.
Foghorn Leghorn.
He introduces Jim Nantz, and Jim Nantz comes in and goes, hi, Hootie. So I thought, seriously, he was going to give him a tongue kiss.
Guys, when the azaleas come to bloom and you look at the clock on the wall and you haven't broken yet, that's a harbinger, Don. It's a harbinger of a late-running show.
Searing pressure enough to wilt the best of games.
Rob, I got to say, listen, part of your gig, guys, the word's discipline. Look at Rob. Obviously, he has none. Even now, when he should be saying go to break.
I just did, Don.
He loves the microphone time so much, though, he jumps on the microphone.
The pointing at the clock, the dwelling at your side, nothing works.
Ever walking the tightrope behind the scenes in front of the microphone, where does he want to be? The young Virginia Commonwealth University sophomore?
Drama arts, theater. Lettering, theater arts, lettered. There he is, walking up the 18th, Rob Spiewak.
Theater arts, and doing very well on the Don and Mike show, maintaining his mantra. The thought that's kept him going strong over the years, the fact that he will never exercise, not a day.
Don Geronimo, only one button away from going to break. Why won't he hit the button?
There you go, that's my guy. Don and Mike to break.
Don and Mike to break right now.
This is the Don and Mike show.